Sunday afternoon, and welcome to a very special edition of Motor Mouth Radio. This is our second anniversary best of show.
You mean we had best of something?
Yeah, we believe it or not, this past year of bits we have collected for you this hour. And this is the best of show. I got the Bronc, Mikey T, and Ray Miranda. We're all here to discuss the best bits of the past year here on Mother's Day 2004.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Mother's Day. I have some venting to do. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, why don't we start right away? What was the first bit we have?
Oh, the first bit is a classic. The first bit involves you, myself, and a very good motor mouth of ours, Mike Ciccone, is involved in this. And this was Caller Stacy, I Didn't Pee in the Boat.
Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you drive? And what's wrong with it?
Well, actually, I have a question specifically for Michael. It's not in regards to a car. It's in regards to a boat.
Right. Okay.
I don't replace the starter, brand new starter, put in one night. Next day, the starter's not working. What could go wrong?
we were already discussing that off the air.
Who is this?
Michael.
No, who are you? No, who are you talking to? What's your name?
Stacy.
Hi,
okay, Stacy. Thank you. did the guy look at the boat yet?
No, not yet. Oh.
So, Stacy, you're saying that the
I was already talking to Bronc about it. We're going to be in deep conversations later.
Right, you know, all getting a huddle.
Said something about a bloody chicken foot. And eye some
of
paint.
Right,
yes.
A big pot.
Yeah,
big, eye of newt.
Yeah, cast
of
iron bat. Thing, yes. We have to de-voodoo it.
Seems
yes.
The starter went in, Stacy, from what we heard, and it started up about four or five times, and then the next day it just seemed to have gone kaputsky, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah,
she was there when she heard metal.
How did it sound, Stacy?
It sounded painful.
No more painful than my ears hearing it, especially after I take it apart three times.
Stacy, can you do the noise?
Can you make the noise? Come on, you're hanging out enough.
I don't think I can make the noise.
Come on.
It was like a ha la la.
See, can you do that?
See, that's it. Michael got it down.
Yeah,
it must still be ringing in his ears.
Yeah, it is ringing in my ears, trust me. I wake up in a cold sweat with that big block chasing me around that hole. And there ain't much room down there.
Doesn't it feel when you crawl into the can, it's like playing in baby diapers when you're in a bilge?
I specifically commented about the starboard engine in the rear has a lovely odor of urine, and he swears he didn't pee in the boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it smells back here like somebody peed in the corner, and it hasn't been moved in a while.
See, this is what you have to put up with, right, Stacy? You have to put up with
it. Sink the boat.
He calls it a Viking funeral.
Yeah.
Right.
Send it off to sea, way by
Well, it may just be that. I mean, Michael worked on these engines for so long, and one of them sounds great. The other one is just.
That's the trouble. The trouble is, I believe it's a starboard one. If Frankie is there, correct me, Frankie. I forget left and right now. This nautical
it's
stuff
actually,
is...
It's actually the port engine.
It's the port engine.
The starboard engine is fine.
The starboard engine. That's my buddy, yeah.
Right.
The port engine is... Kaputsky.
We're working on that now. Thanks, Stace, for calling the motor mouth.
Bye, you're Stace. Welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
That's what I love about Mike Ciccone. He's able to talk directly to the person. Frankie, if you're listening, please let me know if it's the port engine or the starboard engine. But basically, that was I Didn't Pee in the Boat here on the second anniversary Mother's Day Motor Mouth special. Here.
As somebody owns a boat, I can relate to that. Sticking your head down in the bilge.
Playing in baby
before I redid it and cleaned it.
It's nasty down there. What do we have on our second little bit?
Oh, the second bit is a classic. Basically, it was...
You said that about the first bit.
They're all classic.
They're all classic.
Classic.
Some are more classic than others.
Oh, yeah, right. Like a pickle jar.
Some are illegal.
Lot of class. Lot of class. The second one is basically our caller, Tony. It was you and I on the Motor Mouth Mayhem. And it's my radio grandfather runs out of gas. Here on the Mother's Day special.
We got another call.
Okay.
Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you drive?
You have got to be kidding me. I am actually on the air with the Motor Mouths.
You are on the air with the Motor Mouths.
This is a beautiful thing. How are you, my friend?
Who is this?
Who is this?
It's your radio pooper. I've been listening to this show for the entire hour, and I am identifying with each and every story that you guys
So what you're saying is that everything we have discussed is true.
This man...
150%.
Thank you.
This man, who is on the phone right now, his name is Tony.
Uh-huh.
He taught the person who taught me radio. So he is my radio grandfather.
Well, hello, Tony. When I see you, I'm going to have to smack you.
you can say my last name.
I can say Tony Jockey?
Absolutely.
All right.
Hello, Mr. Jockey. Nice speaking with you.
Same here. I have to tell you a very quick story.
Go ahead.
And I'll try not to take the whole the rest of
the
show.
Take the rest of the show, then I don't have to gab.
I have a 2001. Oh, by the way, what he said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We believe if it's not broke, break it anyway.
Right. Well, my attitude is if it's broke, I'll take it apart. Because if I can't fix it, it's still broke.
That's right. I have a 2001 Taurus.
Okay.
And my odometer, my trip odometer is like, I thought it was right on the money.
Uh-huh.
So it's reading 290 miles, and I know that I get 325 miles on every tank full.
Right.
Now,
right.
Being the thick-headed Sicilian that I am, my trip odometer said 290 miles, but it read empty, and the little light that says you need fuel is like flashing like a son of a gun.
Oh, okay. Boy.
But I didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no way!
I got another 20 miles to go.
At least.
Okay.
So I'm on Highland Boulevard coming back from White Castle.
Right.
And I'm enjoying my hamburger, mm-hmm. side at a time, as they say you're supposed to do.
Right.
And all of a sudden I hear, but a ping pop, pop, pop.
Wait.
You ran out of gas.
What did you hear again?
But a ping pop, pop.
Okay.
I added one for you.
Thank you.
But fortunate because luck is as luck would have it, I'm coasting downhill.
Okay.
So if you are running out of gas, do not stop the car.
Right.
Do not say I'm out of gas. I have to stop. You have to coast as far as you can. I coasted, put the car in neutral, coasted into a gas station on the right side of the pump, and I only had $2.50.
Did you swap them for the back of hamburgers?
Yeah, that's right. I gave the guy $5 for the hamburgers.
Gravity was your friend.
Oh, gravity was my God.
Right.
Gravity was my God.
Mm-hmm.
So I wound up being that Staten Island is as hilly as it is, it actually came to be a godsend. That gravity was on my side.
Right.
And I coasted into the gas station, and he said, oh, my God, you ran out of gas. Oh, my God.
Did he sell you a slushy to wash down your hamburgers?
A squishy.
Something, I don't know, besides gas. And I put my $2.50 in.
Right.
And it was a beautiful thing. And I went on my way, only to remember that I had taken a nap in the car for about an hour one night, and I left the car running.
Ah, and there you go. So the mileage is true, the odometer lies.
And as they say in Italian, I got the Sfacimo award.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? So the moral of the story is, when the light comes on, right?
You find some hills.
When the light comes on, go get the gas.
That's right. Or a slushy, depending where you are.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? Everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Totally. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the day.
You too.
Thanks for calling.
Tony, thanks for calling. We'll hope to hear from you again.
Nothing like a good Sfacimo award.
He was good. He was excellent.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You hear these stories, and they're true. You can't make them up.
No. I know, but he was just, he's a storyteller. That was amazing.
Tony Jockey is definitely a storyteller. He is my radio grandfather, and I've heard a lot of those stories.
And speaking of storytellers, our next little clip,
the
John Didio, which is Didio Bang, as we all know, is...
Right.
Whatever.
Head against the wall.
Head against the mic.
When people call him with something stupid, he bangs his head against the wall.
And then he asks him, what color is your car?
But before we get to the Didio Bang,
mm-hmm.
we have a little feature here that we're talking about. Speaking of John Didio, we also have Mikey T in this one. Pete Barillo and myself. The Bronc was probably MIA.
He was.
And this is basically, Mike, you remember the...
Yes, I do, and I still didn't get my sauce. Mama Barillo was supposed to get me some sauce, and I never got it.
And here it is, the Mama Barillo encounter.
The car to the shop. Hey, here's what I need to know.
What?
Is Mama Barillo cooking today?
Yeah, she's cooking.
Mama Barillo, all right.
She's already got the sauce going.
Just wanted to know.
Sunday is Barillo.
Wait, sauce or gravy?
Sauce. Oh, okay. What are you out of your
mind?
Oh,
see, I know that.
Sauce or gravy. You put gravy on roast beef. You put sauce hey, on macaroni.
You don't know how many people I talk to, and they all say, oh, that's gravy. No, no, no. That's sauce.
That's sauce.
Gravy's brown.
Well, those imposter Italians call it gravy.
They use that's breakfast funny. Links for sausage, too.
Oh, boy. That's
when I was living in the old country, you know, Brooklyn, they were... You know, you said gravy to throw you out of the house.
Yeah, I believe.
How quick this turned into a cooking show.
Always. That's what I love about this show. You never know where the topic is going to go.
Your father says they never liked that one.
Now we're talking about sauce fraud.
Is it a red color or is it a little pink?
No, it's a pinkish hue. That's not gravy.
Never burn the garlic. Oh, my God.
And we're trying to get on the subject of auto body shops. Is it, when you talk about techniques and you talk about oh wait a minute,
we got another call.
We got another call.
Hey. Yeah, what do you guys want? We're closing in an hour.
Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Mama Borello.
There she is.
Oh, Mama.
You're kidding, John. You made points.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Good. Good. I'm going to make you my sauce and let you be the judge of it.
Hey, I'm a nice Irish boy, but I love Italian women.
And you would love my sauce and meatballs. For 50 years I've been cooking.
Oh, my God.
I take the weekend off.
Just to make the sauce, Mama Bro?
No, because you can't move eat so much food.
Yes, from eating. Does my son look undernourished to you?
No, he looks healthy.
Oh, believe me, no.
Well, I just wanted to call and tell you we're enjoying your show.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Mom.
Mama
Bro.
Very
nice guest on today. And
he's
I'll send
a good
part of
boy.
My sauce.
Yeah, listen, next week you better be at the shop with the meatballs, okay? That's all I got to say.
Okay. God love you all. Bye,
thank Mama, you, Mama Barillo. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's pretty good. John makes points and I get sauce.
I'm telling you. Wow. I've also tasted a Coke in it, you know, let me tell you.
She does all right, huh?
So what do you think I brought him for?
This is more points.
So, for the food.
It was a culinary show there for a little bit for the food.
John, I can't help it. John Didio cracks me up. Just his voice and his delivery, he's fantastic.
You know, John wants to start doing the show regularly when I leave.
We're going to have to get new microphones every week.
Yeah, and I need therapy.
Yeah, probably the reason why we're going to have to get new microphones every week is what you were talking about before.
The Didio Bang.
The Didio Bang, the Didio Hit. And this is something that we definitely have to play here. And along with it, we have a bonus track with a tale of how the Bronc meets new friends. Check it out.
The Didio Hit.
Here at Motor Mouth Radio.
What'd you call it? The
Didio
what?
The Didio Bang. The Didio Bang.
Yes, we love when one of our Motor Mouths, John Didio.
Oh, yeah. We should explain to the listeners that when John gets frustrated, he bangs his head against the
microphone.
Yeah,
right.
That's if you're here watching
thump.
It, it's
if you
funny.
Hear
you
this.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yesterday, in fact, John Didio and myself, we went out for dinner. So we wanted to go to a really good steakhouse. It was this place, New Yorker Steakhouse,
okay,
in Island Park.
Right.
So I didn't know that they changed owners. So these two young guys, this guy Dino was the brother, and the other brother, Jimmy.
Okay.
So we're sitting over there, John and I, and we're carrying on, and it looked like geriatric circus in a restaurant. Right? So this is how this whole thing started. And I got to tell the story.
You guys were the only guys there with brown hair.
That didn't have wrinkles dropping in a soup, okay? And we didn't have orthopedic shoes and Pampers, or Depends, right? So I go into the bathroom, right? And this old guy comes in there. So
I don't
I'm
like
standing
where this is
there.
Going.
Oh, no, this was
I'm
funny.
Nervous.
This is how where I'm going with the story, just to give you background.
Oh, boy, I know where you're
so
going with this story.
There, and they had this wall, okay, between the two urinals. So the guy comes in, the guy must have been about 800 years old, and his head falls immediately against the tile. All right, so he's supporting himself with his head on the tile right above the flusher, and he's doing his business. Meanwhile, right, he's got like a severe case of Parkinson's. So I'm over there.
And you're standing next to him.
Yeah, I'm standing right next to him. So I'm pulling.
I'm trying to see how he's going to tie this into automotive.
Oh, yeah, this is how the story
you
goes.
You better.
Right, so I come back there. I'm laughing my butt off. So I said, you know, they install PDSs. All right, so PDSs, right? Yeah, penis deflector shields, right, between because of the geriatrics. So the waitress comes over, right? We tell her she cracks up. She brings over the owner, right? And John said something about cars. So the owner is a Motorhead.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he's a Motorhead. He just finished restoring a 1967 GTO convertible.
Oh, nice.
To show you how crazy some of these guys get,
yeah.
The chassis was rotted out.
Right.
And he imported a chassis from California, right, rather than weld it up, and
wow.
He swapped out the whole car, putting the body on the chassis.
Oh, my gosh.
What? Brand new car.
Brand new car. Right?
You know, this is the labor of love.
Yeah.
So he's from, I believe he said he's from Massapequa, Queens.
Right.
So we started talking about the old days.
Okay.
To make a long story short,
he was from the borough.
John grew up in the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, and knew the same people,
oh,
right, that these
gosh.
Guys did. So now we're talking, we bring the brother Dino over, right? So we got in conversation and says, oh, you're a biker, because I had a Harley shirt on.
Right.
Right? So I said, oh, you're a biker. Yeah, I got this Harley, I'm restoring this. But I said, this is great. So to make
wow.
a long story short, we got friendly with these two guys. We sat down until 1:30 at night after the restaurant was closed.
You closed the show.
We closed the show. With the two brothers, his cousin Pete from Greece didn't speak a word of English. He was going, say yes, Pete. And he would nod his head and smile. Great people, great story. So we're going to try to get them on the show. I told them they'd
oh.
be interesting. And I think they give you a lot of information on the restoration.
Food and cars.
Food and cars. What a place.
I have a few questions.
All by yourself?
I went out to dinner last night, met these guys in on a restaurant. One's redoing a car and the other is into a bike. And we had a great time.
Right.
That's it. The
That's
end.
The Reader's Digest version.
Okay. Right. But we came up with a
what
new design.
What does the guy in the bathroom peeing have to do with this
That's
story?
How we got friendly with the owners.
I'm not going to ask what you were doing in the bathroom with the guy peeing that you got.
Trying to lift my
owners.
Shoes up and get them off the floor.
This is 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, and this is the Mother's Day Motor Mouth Special.
Motor Mouth Marathon.
Right. This is the second anniversary of our Mother's Day special.
And it is one mother of a day.
It certainly is.
I have to say, I do have a lot of favorites here. So far, I can't figure out which one. That was pretty good.
I forgot about that story.
I just love the fact that the last couple have involved basically bodily fluids or food.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but this one, hopefully we're going to change the pace a little bit here.
And come back to automotive talking.
You betcha. And this one features Mikey, and I'm still trying to figure out where I heard the click noise when he finally realized what was going on.
Well, let me just preface this real quick by I had a real rough night the night before, and I was slightly hungover.
Slightly?
So I had no idea who it was calling in.
And we call this one Caller Gene from Colorado, and Mikey has a moment. Here it goes.
Right. Hello, who are you?
Hello.
This is Gene calling.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Very good. You got a car problem?
I'm almost breathing on my own.
I've got a clear question for you guys.
Talk to us.
I'll pull the plug on that guy.
Thank you.
Right. The Bronc is gone. That's it. We're down one.
If you missed it, the topic of the show is stupid people doing stupid things in the
studio.
On a
radio.
I couldn't help it. The wheel got stuck in the cord there.
What's up, Gene? What's your car problem?
I've got a 1993 Toyota pickup.
Okay.
My condolences.
Well, come on, it's a pickup when it's not rusting. Go
ahead. Especially downhill.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry.
It's got 150,000 miles on it.
That's a good truck.
That's a good truck.
I live in Colorado.
Oh.
And I want to give the truck to my nephew who lives on Long Island.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I'm told that automobiles in Colorado have to be adjusted for the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
So someone asked me, is it something I've got to do to the truck before I give it to him? If he's living on Long Island, to make it run better at a lower altitude.
What year is the truck again?
It's a 93.
93. Is it carbureted or fuel injected?
Oh, you guys ask tough questions.
Okay.
All right. I want to ask an easy question, Gene.
Yes.
Can I go back to Colorado with you?
Gene,
my sister lives there. I love that place.
Yeah, but it's raining there now, I think.
I don't care.
I think it's snowing.
It's outside
there.
Of New York.
All right, Gene, it's very simple. All right, I wouldn't worry about making any adjustments on the vehicle whatsoever. With the modern computer systems that are on these cars, it will balance itself when it changes the altitudes. It's not like the old days where you had to manually adjust the fuel-air mix ratio as you went to higher elevation. The computer will compensate for that. Now, if the
93?
Yeah. Computers started in the car, actually, 1978 when they first started coming out.
The Japanese were a little bit behind, but not that far.
Right, so
aside from the regular maintenance stuff that I always do, the air filters, get the oil changed regularly.
Right.
There's nothing else I really need to do before I bring it to them.
Not at all. And New York State has a form. It's called gift of sale form.
Ah, okay.
And this way, if you're giving the car to a relative, Right, you don't have to pay any tax on the car, so you can save them the tax. And that form is available at Department of Motor Vehicles.
Oh, good
advice.
You can also
get it online, too. Okay, so it's very easy. You just go up to the information booth when you walk into Motor Vehicles,
okay.
And you just say you're giving your car to your nephew.
Now, I can do that on this end in Colorado.
Yeah. When you send the title out with that form there, this way it'll be honored in New York.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. And now, you also,
Gene,
I'm sorry, wait a minute, let me just
hold on, Gene.
Are you in Colorado now, Gene?
You bet. I'm staring at the beautiful Rocky
Mountains. All right.
Okay.
You know, this is how dead I am. I got in at 6:30 this morning. This is my sister. I just realized I'm going, gee, my sister has that truck. Hi, Gene. And I just got telling her, can I go to Colorado? My sister lives there.
You want to go, right. All right.
Was this truck supposed to be a birthday present?
This is the only chance I get to ask my question. Yeah, that's true. I'm so busy.
Mike just gave us stupid studio tricks. Look at this. Mike, let me ask you this question. When you get divorced, are you going to go back being brother and sister?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
It was true.
All right, well, Gene, seriously, I know your brother's not going to help you. Is that you can get that form, believe it or not, on the internet. You just go into Forms, Department of Motor Vehicles, State of New York, and then you can download the forms.
Sounds great.
Oh, hold on, Gene, I have a question.
Yeah.
Who are you giving the truck to?
Thanks, Gene.
Well, Gene, thank you. Have a great day.
Take care.
It's amazing. He doesn't even know his own sister.
I was sitting there, and I have to admit, I'm sitting in there listening to it straight, of course, and I'm saying to myself, how stupid could you not know? Genie, Colorado, Toyota pickup? I couldn't believe it took me that long to realize it.
Went to the clock, and then the bells went off, and you see the eyes open up.
That was a classic, and that was you, Bronk, Mikey T, obviously, and Bob and Ron were in
there,
too.
Yeah, we forgot Bob and Ron were in there.
We try to forget them all the time.
The next one's one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
This was funny.
This is when I brought a friend of mine, Layla, who's a motorcycle safety instructor, on the show, and she was nervous all the way into the studio going, I'm just going to sit and observe, and as you listen, she did more than observe.
Pretty much.
Motorists do not scan for motorcyclists.
Very
therefore,
true.
You're invisible.
Right. Yeah.
That's the bottom line. They
treat
can look
you like
you,
you're a bicycle.
Not even. They don't see you because they're not mentally, they're not looking for you. Their brain is worried. What's on the radio? Where am I going? What exit?
Right.
What's behind me? They do not see. It's a strange phenomenon.
So
it's been proven.
Right. So you have to drive defensively.
You drive as if you're invisible.
Oh, you drive as if you're invisible.
You drive as if you're invisible.
Right.
If you use that philosophy, okay,
right.
It'll keep you out of serious situations more than 50% of the time. And as Mikey said, and that's the major factor, when a guy's behind you, is on your left or your right, you got to anticipate the worst case scenario. What is he going to do to you, right? And if he does do it, what are you going to do to counteract that move?
I'll give you a question. You ride, a lot of us ride here.
Right.
How many times have you come down the road and you see somebody pull up to a stop sign?
You know what they're going to do.
You have the right of way.
Doesn't matter.
You have to anticipate that that person is
going
to
blow that sign.
That's right.
And that right there will tell you that, you know what? The other thing is, if you got a car turning left and a car coming straight, you're at a blind spot there. I don't care if I stop when there's no stop sign with no traffic behind me.
When you're on
the
bike.
Or slow down. Let them go first.
Sure.
The other thing is, these people that wave people on, that's just looking for an accident. Mm-hmm. You're in control of your vehicle. You have to make the decision, and that's
what
all
you're
going to
do.
Very
right?
True.
To wrap this up, Ronnie, what
Kevin.
Did you...
No, Kevin. Kevin.
This Kevin.
The phone?
Yeah,
the
guy
Kevin.
Coming.
Sorry. Watch my mouth. Kevin.
Did
you
say Ronnie?
Oh, watch my finger. No,
that
was
a... Now, guys. Oh, yeah.
She fits the show.
Like you.
Kevin, more importantly, I mean, I'm glad that you survived this accident, but what...
I'm so happy she just observed from the middle seat and ran the show.
That was, she took off from there.
That was the infamous caller Kevin with the watch my finger debacle.
That's it. Right? Puts it all in perspective.
Did she really show you her finger?
On more than one occasion.
And it,
was, that show.
And it wasn't the thumb, right?
No, it wasn't the one she was wearing her wedding band.
That's
on.
Not true. She was showing her nail polish.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Right? Just... Always on the same finger.
You know, it's kind of funny when...
It's the only nail she does.
You noticed during the course of compiling all these clips, I noticed that there was a change in Mikey. You and I were basically, we've been running status quo. Bronk and I have been running status quo. But Mikey has gotten a little frothy, a little fervor in the style.
You can say it. I vent often.
Yes, you do. But here is a classic. The Bronk is playing ticket swapping, and this is called the Great Traffic Ticket Experience. But the funny thing is, this is where I notice Mikey's starting to vent a little bit more, and you'll hear it right now. Check
the
it
scams
out.
That we used to do, mm-hmm. being city kids, nobody wanted to spend money.
So what happened? So what happened right, with so the, we, yeah, the ticket?
Exactly. All right. So what you do is you take the ticket off the guy, and this works in Manhattan too because they have a cycle.
Right.
Right. So you pull up to a meter. Now you don't want to run out every 20 minutes to put a quarter, or half a dollar, whatever it is, in a meter.
Right.
So you take your ticket off the guy who got one previously and put it under your windshield. When the meter maters come around, they'll see you already with ticketed. Therefore, they won't give you another one, and the guy behind you will get another ticket.
And then when you're ready to leave, you take it off and put both.
No, you throw them away. Bring them. You can't take a joke.
But it's true. It's amazing how many people will see the ticket and not read it.
Exactly.
They will actually take the ticket and go, oh, gosh, I got a ticket.
And that's another thing. Hey, if you got the ticket, you put it on the guy behind you. He's going, oh, damn it. How many people, number one, could read the writing?
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Well, I'm going to tell you what backfired, though, because I had a 71 Green Impala, because when I had my 69 Chevelle, that went away for the winter, so I bought a beta car.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It never left Long Island. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I get a ticket from New York City, a parking ticket. And I said, this is ridiculous. I've never been in the city.
Right.
So I turn around.
With
and
the
I,
car.
I, right. And I went and did a request to get a copy of the ticket. They sent me a copy of the ticket. And it's so obvious that somebody changed like two digits on the license plate, mm-hmm. you know, where it's heavier in ink. somebody must have had a friend on the police department that said, hey, you know, fix this for me. He just happened to pick two numbers that were my plate. So I sat there and I kept saying, I'm not paying it. I'm fighting this. This is bull. The car was blue. Mine was green.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, this is ridiculous. I'm not paying it. I don't care if it's my. So I sent him back letters. They kept sending back threats. Oh, we're going to send a collection agency, this and that. And my parents would say, Michael, stop. It's just $50. Pay it. We'll give you the money. Pay. I said, that's not the point.
Right.
Well, finally, after months of this going on, I finally got sick of hearing them, so I paid it. And 2 days later is when Manis shot himself in the car, the guy head of the parking ticket bureau.
Right.
And they said they were bogusing tickets. Duh, if I waited one more month. So when you talk about tickets,
oh, he's getting all red in the face.
Wow, well, I paid $50, and then why couldn't he do it a week sooner?
You would have sent him the bullet.
No, it was just ridiculous. I'm saying nobody believes me and it's a scam, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, it's a scam. Yeah.
Yes, this is the part of the program where Mikey T has a stroke.
He's over here, he's bright red in the face. You can see he's already starting to glow, right?
I am, I can't help it. That annoys the crap out of me.
Well, you know, I did that again. I just got another ticket in Rockville
Center.
Have
the courtesy to kill himself sooner.
Right? Just inconsiderate people. I got another ticket in Rockville Center last week. I got them on plates. I don't care. Give me two more.
Yeah. You're leaving the whole East Coast, so the hell could it?
And I'm dropping my license. There's no reciprocity.
This is the Mother's Day Motormouth Show, second anniversary here at the radio station on Mother's Day, and so I don't suggest anybody call. But basically what we're going to do is we're going to change the tempo a little bit. We're going to bring it down just a notch, and we have Mikey T and Steve Janitz and, of course, myself. We were discussing fishing, or what the hell did you catch? Check it out.
Want to discuss, since with the cold weather here upon us, you got your boat still in the water, you have an issue.
Yeah, you're running a little late. Oh, hold on. Although, and Steve will tell you, he yelled at me because I took mine out early. The fishing now is good.
Oh, why? Yeah, the stripers are running.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I mean, yeah. I know absolutely. You're talking to a guy from Brooklyn. I mean, I fish off a pier. I caught a toilet seat. I caught a snarl. I actually caught a picture frame one time fishing as a kid. We used to go every once in a while fish off Lapish Avenue, fish off the creek, mm-hmm. and literally all we did was, you know, pretty much sit there and you know, find an excuse to sit on the hood of the car and drink.
Yeah,
you so, you know.
Well, boat's a lot of, you know, well, you're not supposed to say that because you're not supposed to drink on your boat now.
That's true. That's right. We try to be PC. We don't usually succeed, but we try.
We put the lines in the water to make it look good, but you know, other than that, we're just sitting there going, all you hear all day, you don't hear fish all day, you hear tch.
Did you catch anything yet? Yeah, buzz.
Well, like Steve and I go out fishing. We go out fishing, and it was like 15 mile an hour currents. It was the worst time the end of last year. Let's go fishing. Went out and spent like $300 on fishing gear. Jumped on the boat because he's laughing at me. You don't have gear? No, let's go get it now. What are you, nuts? So we go out, we buy all the gear.
I'm good
we're
with
all
your money, Mike.
Yeah, we're all psyched. We had to call a friend of mine from the store and go, what should we buy? But we get on the boat, we go out, it's a 50-mile-an-hour current. By the time I'm setting the anchor, I turn around, we're already back against the bridge swimming with all the boats. We finally find a spot after 3 hours. We catch two little fish, we look at each other, go, okay, we caught something, now we can start drinking.
Right, you get these two fish flopping around in the bail.
Just
all.
To say we caught something. Little tiny. We looked at each other like, we caught something, we're done.
I was in a, what would you call it, a bait store down in Sheepshead Bay. I don't even know if it's still there. And they're asking me questions like, well, you know, what do you want to get, chum? Do you want to get something live? What do you want? I said, what am I, Kirk Gowdy? What are you, the American sportsman? What are you, Colonel Blake with the hat with all the fishing lures in it? What are you kidding me? Give me, what a chum. Give me something. I don't care what.
Well, that's the funny part. You're supposed to be the expert. Tell me what's running. Give me what I need.
Right, exactly.
The only thing I know is I drop it in the water and I wait till something pulls on it.
That's it, exactly. That's how you do it, huh?
Now you know my extent of fishing. I was just thinking. Now you know my extent of fishing.
Yeah, fishing and other things.
Yeah,
that was good.
That's how you do it, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing. We're listening to this stuff, and you don't realize when you're doing a show what actually transpires.
Well, this is the same as TV. When we were doing TV, we do it on TV, and we think, man, that show turned out lousy. And you go home and watch it, and you go, wow, we were that serious for that long?
He said, what about what?
Yeah.
This is 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, and we are in the second anniversary, the middle of the second anniversary Motor Mouth Mother's Day extravaganza.
And for those of you who are visually impaired, this is a recording.
recording.
What's the next little piece that we have?
The next one is a very special piece. This is something that really, it makes me well up when I hear these things, and Mike can definitely attest to it, because if it wasn't for Mikey looking at the book, this piece wouldn't have been would not have been as good as it was. It's Marty Himes was with us at the Long Island Auto Racing Museum, mm-hmm. And you remember too, Bronc, how it was just a lot of fun talking about old racing in Long Island, and take it away. This is just, it's beyond description. It's very good.
Oh, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm reading Marty's book, and it's funny because you people out there got to get this book. There's a picture of his brother sitting in the Soapbox Derby car, and it says, with Reggie as the wheelman and Marty as the power, the Himes brothers showed up early to challenge all comers at Freeport. They still have the car fully restored. Now you turn the next page, and there's Marty in A150, an old car. The year is 1955, making his debut at Freeport with one he didn't have to push. Notice the radio antenna. It wasn't for talking to the crew chief. That is so good. I mean, back then, you threw wheels, tires on it, you raced it.
You
there
betcha.
Was no...
There were cars, like, basically right out of the... Right, you know, right off the street. People had, they didn't want them anymore. They give them to you, or you get them from the local junkyard. And you did a few little things to them. You trimmed the fenders a little bit with a torch. Just so the defenders didn't hit the tires.
Right.
And off you went, and you were a race car driver.
And
that's how I started.
Now, Marty, this one picture you got, it says Mousy, the 3K car. Mm-hmm.
Mousy Kempster.
Next to you, X2, Jim Hendrickson.
X3.
X3.
Mm-hmm.
The, a friend of mine who we had on the show, Layla Ferrante.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's Tony Ferrante's car.
Tony Ferrante?
Right.
That's his car.
It's in the book.
It's in the book, and it's in my museum. The actual car.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because her father's like Marty, loves racing.
It's going to Marty's Museum is a must-do on Long Island. It's a great day to bond with your kids. You know, you take your time out.
Bring your camera. Bring your kid, too.
And it'll give you something to talk about with each other.
Bring your autograph book also, because almost every day there's old-time, and I'm not saying that as an insult, old-time racing car drivers at my house. We have one guy, he's probably one of the best midget racing car drivers to ever live.
Right.
Johnny Coy. And he's at my house every morning for breakfast, 5 days a week.
Really?
And sometimes on weekends. But every day of the week, including today, he's been there.
And does he volunteer? Does he work there?
Everybody helps us. Everybody.
Oh, that's incredible.
Everybody participates. Everybody does something. Right. Even if it's locating a part or wiping the cars down, polishing them, wash them, help straighten up the museum, dust. Whatever. Everybody helps. We don't make any money at this. We're doing it because we love it.
Oh, I believe it.
Well, speaking of money, this is pretty funny. There's a picture in the book of the number three car, Mousy. Is Mousy Kempster with his coupe. Flip the page, and right on the other side it says, Mousy flipped the dime, because it's a 10-cent car, it says on the door. Mousy flipped the dime. It went heads, it went tails, end over end. It was worth 10 cents after this one, which is what it said on the door. But you have to remember something. These guys weren't, there were no sponsors. These guys put hard work, sweat, labor, a lot of late nights into these cars, and went out and raced them. And when something like this happens, you know what? I bet you if you walk up, unlike today with his millions of dollars in racing, you walked up to him after this, they're laughing. The guy's probably shaking hands. Thank God you didn't get hurt. You know what? That night, he's probably home tearing that car apart, ready to build another.
Ready to go. Yeah, go again.
Pounding the roof out.
You know what? It's like baseball and everything else. It's big business now. But it, back then, it was the love of the sport.
Yep. And it showed.
It showed. Mm-hmm. But it's important to do this. We got to carry it on. That's why we encourage. We have, in our group, like they have at the baseball field, they have Old Timers Day at Baseball Park.
Right.
But we have Old Timers Day at Riverhead Raceway. The last Sunday of every August, we bring out all the old cars that are available, including 8 or 10 of mine.
Oh, wow.
And we bring out all the retired drivers who are still with us, and we have a good day at Riverhead Raceway. And we run the cars on the track. We let old-time drivers take them out and drive them around.
And they literally get behind the wheel all over again.
Yeah, they relive, even if it's only for a couple of laps, each guy, they park the car, another guy gets in.
That's incredible.
Oh, no, we do. We actually, it's a living museum. We actually run the cars once a year, for sure. Of course, we run them at other tracks around the country, too.
Right.
I go to New Hampshire International Speedway once a year. We have a big 3-day reunion there. We go to Williams Grove Speedway in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. We go to Waterford Speedway in Connecticut. I mean, we go all over. We go to Essex Junction, Vermont.
Now, you're taking these race cars that you have on display right now, you're taking them out of the museum and throwing them back on the track.
Absolutely.
So these cars need care and upkeep.
That's right. You have to treat them like you're racing them, because you are.
Marty, next to these pictures in the book, who came up with these sayings here?
Which ones?
Well, I'll tell you, this one is fantastic. This one, I think, it hits home right on the way. It says, it's a picture in 1953, Pop Kelly, Uncle Axel, the car says, number 590. And you can tell it's obviously black and white photo, but there's multicolors on the door.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in the color and the noise, big men broke their toys. That sums it up.
That really sums it up.
You would work, the car would look pristine when the race started. When it was over, there was noise, there was trash, but people were smiling. And I'll tell you something else about back then, and I'm sure it wasn't with everybody, but back then you respected the guy you raced against, whether you won or lost or not.
Very true.
He's speaking of a car number 590 in the book, and I actually have that car in my museum in running condition.
Incredible.
And that quotation under that photo was written by Ken Spooner.
Nice.
Wow.
The author of the book.
And that quotation again was... In the sound and the noise?
No. It says, in the color and the noise, men broke their toys.
Big men broke their toys.
And that's only one of many cars. I probably have 25, 26 cars at any given time on display in my museum.
You have to go down and you have to get this book. If I'm quiet here, it's because I'm sitting here.
I'm watching Mike.
And I'm just like, you know what? I wish to God I was reborn, you know, like I said, years ago.
20 years ago.
Marty's got a picture here of this car actually up in the air on its side, slamming into the wall and rolling over. And it's like you look at this and you say to yourself, how the heck can anybody here make this? And then you read it and that he was pronounced dead at the hospital. But back then, there was no big safety features and everything. You took your life in your hands when you did this.
You had a T-shirt and a helmet.
That's it. There's pictures in here of the helmet you wore, and trust me, it's no more than a jockey helmet.
I don't have that picture in front of me, but I'm sure I know it's a 55 Mercury he's talking about.
Right.
At Langhorn, Pennsylvania.
That's it.
Yep. That's his wife's car, by the way.
Oh, that's his wife's car?
Yeah, him and his wife both had one. And he took his Mercury to the track, and it didn't do too well, so he took his wife's car. She almost had a heart attack. But he raced it at Langhorne and flipped it, went right out through the track, upside down, through the trees, and they actually pronounced him dead at the track.
But
revive him. He came back.
Wow.
Now, this is the way it says. It says, the bad one, Longhorn, September 18, 1955. He was pronounced dead at the hospital, but then Axel didn't care much for hospitals. I mean, it's not just entertaining. It's just
not only that. When Axel passed away a few years back,
right?
He had to make it through this accident, though. He had to get one more. Yeah, that was a major one. He had to get one more dig in about racing. We're taking him into Washington Memorial Park in Coram,
right?
And everybody has to stop at the gate, so the hearse can go in first, of course.
Okay.
And he has to smoke the tires on the hearse leading up to the gravesite. Yeah, he has to smoke the tire. And I guess the hearse driver was instructed to do just that. Yeah, and it went over really good, you know?
I could just imagine that.
Just
seeing can you see a hearse? You're driving by, and what the heck? And the hearse is smoking the wheels?
Going to the cemetery.
That was Marty Himes in the Long Island Racing Museum bit, and it's still, I well up every time I hear that stuff.
If you ever get a chance, Bayshore. It's in Bayshore.
Go see him. Look him up, and you'll have a great day.
Great guy. A lot of information.
Very, unbelievable.
Very true.
Last of the old timers.
This is the second anniversary Mother's Day Motormouth Special Extravaganza, and this is a classic coming up right now. I have to laugh about this one because
we're laughing about this whole thing.
Right. It's true.
I don't remember these because I'm trying to forget them.
Yeah.
But this one's kind of funny. Just now, the Bronc turns and looks at me and goes, what's this? Did I actually tell this story?
Not me.
Yeah,
wasn't me.
I says, yeah, it was. This was the Bronc Mikey T. Neil Miller was there, too, along with myself. And this is Bronc explaining the bomb in the butt. You
that's
check
a true
it out.
Story. It was that, what the hell was the car? Early BMW. I think it was a 2002 model.
Right.
They had the battery under the back seat.
Yeah,
was
oh
that
yeah.
The one, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. My friend had this car, and he put in a used battery with a bad cell.
Okay.
So the battery was venting under the seat. The venting gas is hydrogen gas.
Right.
His girlfriend.
What a cheap friends. You didn't put a new battery?
Even why do you think they give him cars?
Exactly.
His girlfriend took the car out. Thank God nobody got hurt, seriously. And she had a girlfriend in the car. And the girlfriend in the back seat lit a cigarette.
Right.
The cigarette dropped into the ash, dropped in, set off the bottom of the hydrogen gas.
It's a bomb.
Yeah, it blew her butt, literally, right up into the roof of the car.
Smoking, right?
She oh, yeah. She quit smoking. No, she continued
to smoke for about an hour after
exactly.
that.
Not true story. True story, you know? So, and this is... We lost Chris.
This is this is you know now today when they introduce her, it's like this is my friend Catherine Smoky Butt Johnson, you know.
But the worst part wasn't so much the seat; it was the head implant in the roof because she actually was launched, right? And she didn't break her neck, but she had like severe whiplash when the top of her head went into the top of the roof. There's this big dimple coming out of the roof, so they put a baseball hat on the roof now when they're driving.
So what you learn, folks, if you don't smoke in the back seat, put your seatbelt on, and make sure you don't have a used battery.
No, but
friends.
The point is, I'm just true. I forgot
that's
about
that making
story.
The highlight tape. You
no,
know that.
Well, yeah.
That's better than any of the stories you read off the internet. That's like
because this you can't make up.
No.
You can't make this stuff up.
I knew then. Right. I knew then we were going to be replaying it today on the show. I knew then.
I forgot all.
Get stories. I'm looking over the list that Chris put together, and I forget stories. They come up in the course.
Right.
That's all of a sudden something spark happened to you when you were young. And there's hundreds of stories, and I'm sure you're out there. So next week, give us a call. Tell us some of your stories.
Let's let people know we take 1 month prepping.
That's right. Hard work.
That's the minute of Mike's turn. The stories off the top of our head.
Well, that's what it is. We start the show. And then the announcement goes off.
That's the phone call. They always make it up.
Story is it. I'm sure Mikey can probably enlighten us a little bit. Can you?
Yeah, the Mighty Ferguson was a flush system on my boat, and the Mighty Ferguson is what Al Bundy, Married with Children, calls his lovable toilet.
And you're going to hear our response to the Mighty Ferguson when he straps it on.
The guy ran my boat he was the original owner, ran it for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
It blew twice after we took it out. And which it overheated when I went and looked at it, and I got the boat really cheap.
Right.
But the bottom line is the boat lasted 14 years on raw water cooling.
Wow.
Every 3 to 4 years, the guy had to put manifolds and risers because the salt water running through them corroded them. What do you think the inside of an engine looked like?
It probably looks like hell.
So when I put the brand new engine in it, I chose to put antifreeze in it.
Right.
So now it's just like a car. I can run this thing for
hundreds of thousands of hours.
Right, and it won't.
Hundreds of thousands of hours. A lot of hours. and then
if you really ain't a like me, I put on what they call the Mighty Ferguson. It's a unit.
Say.
It's a, that came from Al Bundy.
Is that a strap-on?
It came from the Mighty Ferguson. If you ever saw Married with Children, is the toilet bowl he's in love with.
Cause swoosh.
So right, the flush, the Mighty Flush, the Ferguson. So when I put this flush unit on my boat, It flushes the manifolds and rises.
Can we flush the seat at the end of the table?
It gets rid of...
We're going to flush this show.
It gets rid of all the salt water in the Marius's and manifolds. And right. The first thing I got from, why are you putting it on and why are you wasting your money? And the bottom line is, and yes, Steve, he's like, uh-oh, here we go, 2 hour, but now I got it down to 45 minutes. When we back into the dock,
right.
I immediately hooked the hose up. I shut the engine off, hooked
he
the hose up.
Into the Mighty Ferguson.
Back into the Mighty Ferguson.
Hope the lights are on.
I hooked the hose up. I did put extra lights on the manifold. On the swim platform.
You use a platform?
I got to get this hair off my teeth.
He was so Mickey T was the rock.
I'm trying real hard, but I'm gonna lose it any minute. If I jump in, this is gonna like the nuts. The bottom line is this system flushes the bottom line is this flushes your manifolds and your risers right out the back with fresh water.
Okay.
So you get rid of all the salt.
Okay. Uh-huh.
The only problem is if you miss, it leaves a stain on the seat.
Oh, boy. He got it in.
I had to do something. I was trying real hard, but I'm looking at him. God, I can't do this. This is like I'm back on TV with him. I can't look at him. If I look at him, I'm going to lose
it. He's looking at the ceiling, the floor, tickling with his hand.
Well, I look at Chris, and he's
losing. Calling.
Every week.
You're like a rock, Mike.
Yeah, I tried, but you guys got to me.
How he keeps it so straight, because I try to do everything, going back to TV days, anything to make him lose it. I used to love standing behind him when he's doing his intro and goose him a little bit and see what kind of reaction we used to get.
You think he's kidding? He did. I got my cheeks grabbed a few times, and I followed him home that day.
Oh, yeah.
And sent me roses the next day.
Best foreplay I ever had.
Well, we're talking about why.
Speaking of roses, Mother's Day.
That's right.
Let's say hello to all the mothers out there.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
I don't
you?
Mean just
Happy
the ones
mother's
that gave
Day.
Birth to you.
The biological mothers.
This next clip is a classic. This is the pinnacle of Mikey T's venting, pretty
much. I don't
much.
Remember any of these.
Oh, you don't? Come on. You've got to.
I know. I've gone through therapy to forget them.
You actually showed up late for the show.
Bronk what else I, is new? I always show up late.
Bronk and I started the show, and then you walk in, and here's what happened.
Just came up to Meadowbrook from the Southern State North. On the Meadowbrook, it is shut down.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so we had to get off and go up Merrick Avenue. Did a roundabout way there. So if you're heading north on the Meadowbrook, get off the Southern State and do a roundabout way.
Why is it shut down?
I don't know. It was just the on exits were dead stop. There was a spin out right at the Southern State, what is it? Southern State westbound, right at the entrance ramp to the Meadowbrook Parkway.
Right.
And there was police activity right over there.
Oh, wow.
And then as soon as we got near the entrance there, they were just bumper to bumper and not moving.
Oh, my gosh.
So we came over Stewart Avenue and we crossed over the Meadowbrook, and there were very few cars coming up that way. So it must have been an accident or who knows.
Wow. There was actually a state trooper had blocked off two lanes close to around 11 o'clock this morning. Someone had, with a must have been like a Camry or something, was up on the snow pile, like on the infield, basically, not on the inside, not on the monster lane, but on the slower lane, and she only got two wheels up onto the snow before the car must have died. And he decided, the state trooper, which in a weird sort of way, kind of strange, he blocked off two lanes. She's mostly off the road, and he's blocking off two lanes with the trooper car. So I thought that was kind of weird, and that blocked up traffic, so I got here late, too. So
yeah, it's difficult. If you don't have to go out, don't go out today.
Yeah.
It's really not worth it.
Definitely not.
One of the biggest problems is that you got the slush, and my favorite drivers in the world are the idiots in the SUVs.
Oh, yeah, they think they're above it all.
They are above it all. That's the point. The problem is they don't have the steering control or the braking capabilities to deal with it.
Just because I got a truck, I could drive through anything.
You betcha, but you can't stop.
But you can't stop. Oh, we got Nanook of the North just walked in.
Oh, my God, it's Darth Vader.
Mikey T just walked in. He drove his snowmobile from Farmingdale. This we got to hear.
He's got his multicolored jacket on, slick jacket, and the biggest, and Mikey, I'm saying this with the utmost, I would say,
respect.
Flattery, respect, you have the biggest helmet I've ever seen.
Look at his big head. He's smiling.
He can't even hear him.
Well, Mikey gets decloaked over here. Okay.
Oh, my God, it's alive.
The clones, Star that Wars is, Part 7.
That is.
I wish I rode my snowmobile here.
That is the biggest helmet. That is the black, big black helmet he's wearing. And he's undoing the, there's a,
Oh, God.
Say it right.
I'm not saying it right.
Balaknava.
I wasn't going to pronounce that. That's a phlegm word.
Let's go back to muck and gluck.
Incredible.
Well, he looks great. I like that.
Good. I figured I'd show you guys what a snowmobile suit looks like.
Now we've got to find out what a snowmobile looks like.
Oh, my gosh.
I got news for you. Number one, I would have made it quicker here if I took the snowmobile. I could have gone right up the shoulder of Meadowbrook, and I heard Steve talking.
Well, I should have got to the mic sooner because I walked in as soon as the plays went.
Yeah. Well, I got a beef.
Uh-oh.
Chris just touched on it.
What I do?
Don't say I can't do that.
Meadowbrook Parkway for over 45 minutes.
Right.
Over Southern State.
Right.
He had a chance to get off. I didn't.
Oh, so you were sitting in it.
I sat there, and when I just got up there now,
yeah,
there is a car on the snowbank on the side, just stuck in the snow.
She's still there.
And a tow truck with a chain hook to it pulling her out.
Right.
Now, this is all the way over in the right-hand lane.
Okay.
All the state trooper has to do is park behind in the right-hand lane, sticking out a little into the left-hand lane. Oh, no. He blocks the middle lane, shoves traffic down to the left-hand lane, one lane.
Yep.
What is the freaking purpose? And don't tell me safety. Because I'll tell you now, if you're talking safety, you're full of crap. Because he could have shadowed that tow truck driver, and that would have been it. And I hate this. They do it every time.
Oh, really?
And there's absolutely no reason to do it. And the other thing is, get your ass out of the car and stand there with a flashlight and move traffic along. Instead, they funnel everybody down. There's absolutely no reason for it.
Then what about the ones that are going through the funnel?
Wow.
Let's take one step.
We touched
the
nerve.
I feel better now.
The rubber asses.
My therapy's over. I'm going home.
Yeah. Then you have the people as they go through. Oh, what happened? What happened? So they got to come to almost. Yeah, rubber asses.
Yeah.
Right, literally.
They waited just as long as you. So when they get there, step on the gas and go. Oh,
yeah,
no. Now it's my turn to take a look.
Right. I want to see.
You know what? I found out there was actually someone that justified rubbernecking to me. They actually said it, and I laughed out loud.
They also first justify, what is that, mercy killings.
The person said to me...
Wait, I got a sign up in my office.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Mike comes in and the whole place erupts.
Oh, this is perfect. No, I agree with you. Is that I have this big I for information.
Right.
And in big letters, for your information, the only reason certain people are allowed to live because it's illegal to kill them. That's it.
That's the truth.
That's...
Well, the person actually said to me, this woman said to me, I rubberneck because it may be somebody I know. And I'm thinking to myself, that must be a wonderful explanation, but what the heck are you going to do?
So what are you going to do? You're going to jump out of the car?
I know you.
You're going to jump out of the car and help? Or is this woman going to be at the next coffee clutch? Oh, you guess what I saw? I saw the whole accident.
I saw Mary,
and she had
blood coming out of her eyeball.
It was unbelievable. She totaled the car. Her husband's going to kill her.
Oh.
You know, give me a break.
I broke the little gold emblem on my Lexus.
Somebody I know.
And a
fingernail. You know, if it's somebody I know, I don't want to see it.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to see him in a box soon enough.
I keep going.
I don't want to see it.
Definitely. Don't want to see something like
wow,
that.
Wow, well, I got to apologize.
No.
When you're on the other end, you don't hear that.
No, well, it's true, but I'll tell you the truth. The funny thing is that you started a whole thing going on because then we had Rob Leonard came in and Charming Ron Sumlay called up and the venting just kept going. And here's how it sounds.
Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's doing, Ron?
Not much. I hear you venting. I got one for you.
Go for it, homie.
All right. What about the guys who have their either their SUVs or their cars, and they don't bother cleaning off their window except for a little slit there?
Oh, I love that.
I was just going to go there. They clean a little pee-pee hole.
Exactly.
Right?
I was coming home from work Friday. I'm on the Southern State, and there's this guy in an SUV. He's in the middle lane. I'm in the right lane because I just moved over. He's moving over into my lane. He don't see me because he's got, like, a little machine gun slit in the window over there.
Machine gun slit. Little mail slot.
Yeah. They don't clean the back windows.
It's beautiful. He's up high. He's supposed to be able to see everything. It'd help if you clean your windows off. You know?
Very true. Very true, Ryan.
They have a new device out there. It's called a snow scraper. / snow brush.
Snow brush.
Exactly.
Very true.
What's the what, you know? You start your car 2 minutes before, you get it warmed up, you turn your defrosters on. When everything is nice, warm, and toasty, everything melts around the glass, you clean everything off, and you go about your business.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Morons, right?
Ron's
that the new.
Being nice.
I'm being nice.
Wait, Robbie Leonard is here.
Oh.
You know what type of houses are on Long Island? A lot of them are called A houses.
Yes.
There you
These
go.
These people have to have holes put in their heads.
There you go.
Venting that's a, Robbie Leonard. That's a little wisdom from Rob.
Wow. I mean, Sean, you know, geez, look, people, I'm in a chair. I get to clean my car off. I can clean my windows off. I'm sure you can do it, too, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. If the wheeled one can do it,
that's
so
right.
can you.
There
you
very go. True.
It's because the people are too damn lazy. They think, oh, I could see straight ahead. But that's
why
most of the people drive nowadays. Which directly
ahead.
In front of them.
But you
mirrors,
know what kills me?
Optional.
You got to let the car warm up anyway. So start the car, immediately turn your defroster and everything on. Let it run.
That's
let the
right.
car sit there for 5-10 minutes. And what I do, I take a broom. I take a
that's
broom.
Yeah.
And
I
have a Bronco. It's got big tires on. It's way up high. I take the broom. I clean the top off, the hood. Clean the car from the top
mm-hmm.
down, just
very
like you're
true.
Washing it. And
right.
and get rid of it.
Get
and then it's
off.
Done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, number one, I can see all around my windows. Number two, I'm not blinding the guy behind me.
Absolutely.
That's the other one.
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, especially the trucks because they're up high and they're flying and the stuff is coming off in your face.
Yeah, it's like Ronnie. You know, you're driving along and all of a sudden the guy in front of you never cleaned his roof off. You're sitting there going, wow, it's still snowing.
Exactly.
It's for 20
yeah.
miles.
It's,
this thing's
it's
just
at you.
Slowly coming off.
Behind you and the snow is in front of you.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
What about the idiots that don't clean their headlights or taillights?
Oh,
they're supposed to be like
right.
magic. What am I going to do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
can't
beautiful.
See through this, right? Another great
tidbit. A lot of people
there.
Forget to do
very
that.
True.
That's right.
Because
so
they're
the
morons.
I got the solution. If it snows, just stay home.
And you know.
I think we
goodbye,
just.
Goodbye, Rod.
That's me. All right.
All right, that was you.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks,
take care,
Rod.
Bye-bye.
Boy, Rob vented big time.
Oh, yeah, Rob was going to have a stroke. We're moving right along here on the Mother's Day Motormouth Special, the second anniversary here at WHPC 90.3, the voice of Nassau Community College, and the classic here with Mikey T and Bob and Ron, and along with myself. Here's a really interesting one. Caller Alan goes to try and start his car on the air. And this was kind of strange. Check it out. This is kind of funny.
It's not a lot of people panic and think it's something internal on the engine.
Right.
That would
well,
be
I got
a
neon. There's always panic in that with those cars. Now, hopefully when I get the oil pan fixed, there's another sound I hear when I first thought it goes when it's cold and the car it just got turned on after like 8 hours or something. You hear.
Oh, that's nothing. That's the flywheel grinding through the air.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I don't
Either
I thought that was the neighbor's cat.
Yeah, hold on.
That's the cat that climbed in there for the warmth. That's it.
Go see if your neighbor's cat's still around.
Alan.
That sounds like.
You guys should do a field study. Come out and look at all these callers. You know, all the guys are calling. You should go to all these guys' cars.
But they put us in white coats before and we panicked. We thought we were Pilgrim State again.
Alan, you got to do that noise again. Come on.
You want me to turn my car on? You want to hear it?
I want to hear it when you turn the car on noise. What's that noise again? Come on.
I'm walking over to my car.
Oh, he's
right.
He's going to start the car. All right.
This is interactive radio, folks.
I have a suggestion. What's this guy's name, Alan?
I know.
Alan.
He ought to check and see if any of the neighbors are missing cats. If they have hairless cats now, that might be, you know.
Oh, now it sounds okay.
Oh,
you're running it?
It's like when you go to the doctor, nothing.
All right, now you want me to tell you why it sounds okay?
Now I hear the singing noises. Okay,
all right.
Go ahead.
You want me to tell you why?